Hello, and welcome to another Nine Circles Audio Thing. I'm your host, Buke, and on this episode, I am joined by Jake Diffenbach, the frontman for Pennsylvania metal band Rivers of Nihil. Jake, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, Matt, what's going on, dude? I'm doing pretty good, man. It's good to be here. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Brother, it is a pleasure to speak to you. Fans who listen to our podcast have heard me go on numerous times about my fandom for you guys. Your last album, Where Owls Know My Name, was my favorite album of 2019. I actually found you guys around the Monarchy era back in 2015. So it's cool to, as we're navigating this COVID world, you guys hit us with news of another release coming, and we are talking on the eve for your guys' release, The Work, via Metal Blade Records.
Hell yeah, man.
Jake, how has the last couple years and this pandemic time found you, brother?
You know, it's a really good question. I've only really started doing interviews like all the time recently. So it's the first time someone's asked me that. You know, things have worked out in a way that was not calculated for us. And me as an individual, the past year and a half has really been kind of a dwelling in my home spot and kind of putting my life together in ways maybe I didn't have time to do before, you know, always being busy with the road and working and whatnot. As a band, we kind of lucked out with this break, you know, quote unquote, with COVID. We finished up our album cycle right as COVID was starting, and it was before everything shut down, but COVID was out there, and we were we were finishing up a tour in Europe with Die Art of Murder, Carnifex, and a bunch of other bands. It was a really, really awesome experience for the most part. We actually anticipated on spending the next year, finishing writing the album. So we didn't know that everything was going to shut down the way it did. And when we finished that tour, we came home. We literally landed, it was a perfect pocket for us to slide into because, you know, the world, and you know, I know a lot of bands out there, unfortunately, that tours were canceled, and it's not easy. You know, it cannot be easy having me go through that, let alone if bands, including some of our friends, have released material albums, you know, during this time period, and they can't tour on it, you know, and that's a really difficult thing. Fortunately enough for us, we anticipated on already spending this time writing and finishing up the album. So it really worked out for us in a way. It worked out for us in a way that we didn't have to, dwell too much on time being lost, because that was, you know, COVID in a lot of ways was a really good thing for us. And I mean that set aside to the actual situation of COVID.
Yeah.
It allowed us to be less distracted with things going on in the world because so much was shut down.
Yep.
We could really funnel in on what we were trying to produce with this record.
You know, that's a great point you bring up, Jake. I was able to, this was a scary situation for all of us and still is because it's an ever evolving situation. You know, all the lives lost and people getting sick and stuff. But like you mentioned it at the start, it allowed us to really take a step back and maybe strengthen personal relationships, love relationships, friendships, family bonds, your bond as a band, the creative process. A lot of people have found different hobbies that they weren't able to do before, a new love of the outdoors or doing art. It's been this weird time that when the normal things that we couldn't do, people found a lot of times to find new things. But it also sucks for, bands and stuff like yourself who make some sort of living or income playing in front of people at venues that rely on people coming out to.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You're definitely right. If you want me to add on a more personal level, like for as an individual, this time period really helped me fill in the spaces that I wasn't able to, always being away, always being on the road. And I really was able to get in touch with myself and my family and my well-being. I at the same time that we kind of struck out safe with this next year prior to COVID taking off to write the album, I actually struck out on a new job
that really didn't.
Yeah, I started landscaping. And that I actually initiated before, it was right before St. Patrick's Day, actually. And I remember talking to one of my coworkers at the bar I work at. I work at a bar called Brewers in West Reading, PA. Great place. If anyone is ever out down in Pennsylvania, I highly recommend going to Brewers. If you're a meat eater or if you're not, there's options for everyone. A lot of good food, a lot of good beers, a lot of good vibes. But I was working there pretty much. That was the only job I had up until the end of our album cycle and right before COVID. And I was like, you know what? I need a change. I need a new work. And I asked one of my coworkers who owns their own landscaping company if they need any help in the following season. Sure enough, he did. Not knowing, I think it was a Saturday that I asked him that, Saturday night after work. And it was the following Wednesday that everything shut down. And I thought to myself, I am on the right path right now. I didn't know that my other job was going to shut down, And I ended up not only getting another job, but this job had really served me in ways that I've been disconnected with myself and,
the real things that are important.
Yeah, man. Landscaping is very therapeutic, man. If you can do it without throwing your thoughts and your position with what's happening in your life in front of you, it's a mindless thing, and it's the closest thing I can think of that is real hard work labor besides farming. You know what I mean? Maybe there's something in between that I'm missing, but
you up in Pennsylvania, my great grandfather was a Pennsylvania coal miner.
Okay. Well, then I'll step down a few degrees and that I'll put that up above
you. You have a real man's job though. Like this. I always say, I steal a line from my favorite comic. When I need stuff around my house done, plumbing or electrical work, I need to call a man to come in and fix it. Like when I need a tree taken down or some landscaping, I got to call a man to come in and fix it for me.
Yeah.
I have little baby soft hands. But you know, Jake, not to speak for you, the real interesting thing about you guys have been on my radar for years, but I like to sit back and watch how bands evolve. A lot of the metal world and metal press really was showering you guys in praise and really discovering you guys with your last album, Where Owls Know My Name. Was that something that you guys in the band were prepared for, is how big the reception around the album was going to be?
I'm sorry. Are you speaking in terms of Where Owls Know My Name?
Yeah.
Are you asking, do we like
see all the praise and talk and press and everything?
We were equally, I as an individual, honestly, being modest,
yeah,
to situation, I kind of knew that this was the direction that maybe we were afraid to expose ourselves.
Okay.
But it would do something that would transpire and transform our sound forever. I know the band as a whole, like, we were kind of on the cusp of being really excited about it, but also kind of like uncertain to some degree how the world would receive it. But we're also the kind of musicians who are not overly, like we do things, we create things with people and our fans in mind, but we also, before that, you know, we come from a place of our, of the creativity that we grew from, you know, and we have an honest, you know, connection to that part of ourselves, you know, in an unspoken way, you know, and I think because we trust ourselves so well, and we trust the creative process, and we give it the appropriate space. You know, we don't rush things. You know, and we try to, you know, even though there may only be a few of us who are in the really writing and the creating process, we value each other's opinion a lot, and you know, we write a lot of times with each other in mind. So, you know, it was something that we were kind of on, you know, the silver lining about, you know, like we had a lot of excitement that release would do great, but we're also still kind of in the wedge of being overly critiqued by the metal community in that certain stance. But you know, if you believe in anything long enough, you outgrow that. I'm not taking away from anyone who's a music critic, because by all means, it's great that people can do that. But I think sometimes when a band comes along and you can tell they kind of sometimes do things differently from song to song, album to album, it's safe to maybe not hold over marginal expectations, you know, sometimes to a band. And I think, you know, like, Between the Bear to Me, you know, you don't sit there and say you expect one album to be like the last one. You sit there and expect anything. You only expect it to be vastly something that you can't comprehend that they maybe have done, you know, they haven't done yet, you know. I loosely try to associate that, you know, that example with us, you know.
What a great point, because I interviewed Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, and it's like, how do you encapsulate their sound or try and describe them? And even conduct an interview, how do you try and describe their sound to somebody who maybe is not a fan or has never even heard them before? You can't, because they hit on so many different sounds.
You're right. You know, it's a weird thing, because I understand the importance of people trying to interpret what sound a band is creating for the sake of conversation, for the sake of relevance in pointing what a band sound is moving towards in sake of, you know, articulating it. But I think, you know, like, I don't know how old you are, Matt.
I am 38.
Okay, so me and you, you're older than me. We're kind of in the same age bracket. We remember what it was like going to shows before the internet, going to see a band that we never really heard of, but we could only anticipate what they would sound like. I think there's a medium between listening to bands' music and critiquing it and saying it's this or it's not this, and then also like trying to exist without presumption of what it's going to be like. Because if a person listens to an album first take and they're already critiquing what it sounds like or what they want to sound like, they're actually taking away from their ability to listen to it authentically, you know. And you know, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
No. Okay, but going with that, what an excellent point you brought up. And that's a great transition to this then. The other day, I had the pleasure of interviewing every member. They actually sat in. Every member of your friends from Burial in the Sky from Philly, you know, Strone's Throw from you. And, you know, everybody knows that, well, if they don't, that Zach, the bass player, was also did the saxophone work for Owls.
Yeah.
Now,
sexy man.
Sexy guy. Amazing work. Now, you guys as a band had to know that it was so out there of a sound that when a band brought sax in, that was going to attract a lot of people. So when they heard or they see the first video from the work or they hear the work, the first thing they're going to think of is, where is Zach? Where is the saxophone? Were you guys worried about maybe that you were kind of putting yourself in a corner now?
You know, I don't think we were. I think that idea was maybe scarcely there. I think it's fair to say, and maybe I'll speak for everyone in my band, and hopefully this is right, but I think when we really put ourselves into writing music, we're not trying to play it safe. You know,
I got you. Yep.
We're not trying to make sure that the critics online, you know, are able to interpret what they think our music is sounding like. You know, it's one of those things when Zach came over to lay the sax stuff, if I remember correctly, that wasn't even it was something that maybe was thought about and talked about. I don't think it was an original idea. It's just something that kind of happened.
It just happened. Awesome.
It happened and then it worked out. And that idea of how things just happen happens a lot within our creative, a creative writing process.
That is fascinating. Jake, you guys here on the work, you bring in, there's a lot of different electronic elements, and I'm hearing synth sounds and electronic keyboards and stuff like that. I love how this album it stands on its own. It is, I'm glad you guys didn't. Yes, you know, their saxophone appears a little, but you guys didn't follow what worked before. You have a completely new sound on this. It's true to what you guys are as a band, but it's something fresh. It's something new, and I love it.
Thank you, dude. I guess that was kind of the goal. It's we wanted to have aspects of where Owls Know My Name there. I guess it's always important when you're creating things, you want to have some things that are somewhat familiar or remind you of aspects of the previous thing. But at the same time, those aspects that are familiar mm-hmm. are put into a new situation, into a new environment. And I kind of think that's what we were, or at least that's what I think.
There is something I want to touch on. I am fascinated, absolutely blown away by this. First off, I've said it in all my time before with any Metal Blade artist I deal with. You guys and Nikki doing your PR, she is the best in the world, unmatched by anybody. She is a pleasure to work with. And when Absolutely. I was talking with her to set up to work with you guys here, because I hadn't seen you do a lot of interviews before, so that's why I wanted to speak to you. And I'm glad I'm interviewing you now, because I like getting a new, a different voice and a different take on things out there. But she made me aware of a point that I was not aware of. But it's fascinating that you growing up and still now you identify yourself as hard of hearing. That is fascinating to me.
Yeah, man. It's been a long, long process. Born this way. It's something that I never identified as a younger person, as someone who had a disability, but it's not to say that I didn't accept the disability as a part of my life. I just didn't like encapsulate everything I do under the identity mm-hmm. of being disabled. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what allowed me to still do whatever the hell I want and not live under the status of a certain identity. And this kind of ties into what we were saying about when people listen to music and they're quick to like throw it into a category. You know, it's like if a person allows himself to be aware that it could be this, it could be that, or I am going through this, or I have that, but don't let that be the end factor. You know, the person can push themselves further. And that's kind of what I did as an individual, you know, like, my hearing, obviously, when I was younger, starting to practice this project wasn't nearly as bad as it probably is now. and it's definitely a struggle a lot, yes. You know, being on stage and having the right mix. A lot of times I am really just punched in because I know the material well enough and I might not hear it that well on stage, but for me, hard of hearing is like trying to perfect the feeling of any given situation and knowing what it means. You know, I might not pick up on the sound, I might not pick up on the content all the time, but in the same sense, when we're playing live, you know, I just have to, you know, kind of be with what I already know, you know, is meant to be done. If that makes sense.
No, you know, is this something that you know, I am disabled now because I have heart failure and I have a defibrillator. I had to retire, but I haven't had a lifelong disability like you have. Is this something that you have maybe at first were afraid to say because you didn't want to be identified because you were just Jake? Yeah, because to me this is inspiring. Now knowing this about you, this makes you even more badass.
I appreciate that. You know, like younger, I think in my social life it bothered me a lot because I know it didn't bother me in a sense of me being mean. Like I usually didn't allow this disability to get in the way with my own willingness to just function. But yep. when I would notice that other people would notice and they kind of, I don't want to sound any kind of way, but sometimes, you know, when people listen to me, they notice I'm hard of hearing and they kind of start talking to me differently. And I don't mean that in the sense of like,
but I totally get that. They have the best of intentions, but it's not really needed. They don't need to do that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the sense of maybe speaking louder, speaking clearly, that is always a plus.
No problems here because I talk loud as it is.
You're great, man. I feel like I've heard everything you said, maybe not like one thing, but like, you know, it's one of those things that's like, it's different in every situation. As a young person, I was very outgoing and I would throw myself into any situation. And sometimes I would hear everything, but I would like round about what they said, because, you know, you can ask someone to repeat themselves, but it's not always like when you're in the flow of a conversation, sometimes it's like, let's just work with this flow and maybe like try and weave out what wasn't heard and, you know, answer as best as I can, you know. So it's definitely a weird thing.
Jake, but where I wanted to go with all this is that we're not talking about Jake the chef who is hard of hearing. We are talking about Jake the metal frontman. Like,
yeah,
hearing in music is a huge, that's what's so cool about this, is that you didn't let something like this stop you from getting into music. That is so badass.
Yeah, man. It's one of those things I didn't think too much about when I was younger. A big part of me just wanted to be accepted and wanted to be in a circle that I felt like I had friends and felt like I could be a part of something. Growing up, honestly, I didn't have a lot of friends. You know, I would picked on a lot. You know, it's a common story, I'm sure, for most people in this community. But I really didn't try to let that hinder, you know, my ability to move forward and do the things I wanted to be a part of. Being in a band and being a vocalist, it's definitely hard. You're right. I mean, there's no rounding about it. You know, it's one of those things that, like, I don't expect any situation to make an excuse for me, or mm-hmm. or you know, mm-hmm. like when I'm on stage, you know, I expect my ability to be as good as any other vocalist. Or
you would never. I'm telling you, if people want to see you as a frontman, and they after hearing this, they're interested in how you are and think if there may be something that they would pick up on, watch your show, your live show from St. Vitus. Your fan interaction alone, your command up on stage is so fucking badass. I love it. I love how you're pulling fans up on stage, singing along with them. You're not missing a beat. It is so amazing. Go on YouTube and find that video, people, if you're listening. It is so badass.
Oh, yeah. That One of Us Live at St. Vitus. It was, that's a great depiction of what we are like live in a very intimate
yes.
situation. You know, I want everyone to feel welcome. You know, I want everyone to feel what I maybe didn't feel as a young person. You know, and that, you know, like, being the modest person I try to be, you know, like, I just, you know, I always try to see everyone as an equal, you yep. know, and that's kind of the important thing I have to remember. Yeah, as a vocalist and as someone you can't hear, you know yeah. what I mean? Like,
well, you know what? I am not going to be modest here for you. I'm going to toot your horn here and say, the work, if you want it, go to riversofnail.com. The first two variants of the vinyl are fucking sold out, people. It's going to, the third pressing, if you're making it, that's going to sell out even more. You guys have a bunch of upcoming tour dates. I hope COVID doesn't spiral more and you don't have these dates get canceled. Jake, there's one question. It starts September 3rd in Chicago, all the way through, my God, December 4th. What, yep. You're going overseas? Is that still going to be happening?
Well, we have three. I hope so. We have 3 weeks off after this Black Dahlia Murder tour, and then we are supposed to be preparing for that tour.
Hope so. Jake, there's one question I like to ask everybody who joins me, and I will let you go. If there is one song on the new album that you think is the perfect example, the perfect showcase of what you guys are as a band right now, what would you say that track is, buddy?
I would say Focus.
Okay.
I would say Focus. I would say Focus.
Dude, it is one of my favorites.
Hell yeah, man.
Jake, it is an absolute pleasure to speak to you. You guys are one of my favorites. I know you guys are favorites here on the website, and you guys have fans all over the world, and sales, pre-order sales already show that. Again, the album, The Work, is out September 24th on Metal Blade Records. Jake, I know you got another interview to do, so it's been a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, Matt, so much, man.
Thank you, brother.
See you in the future. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, my friend.